This is the Hervoy and Moritz Show on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
What else is going on in the world? We've got, we all know that the Ukraine bill passed $40 billion. I'm looking at the Hill here, Senate passes bill. But from the same Hill newspaper, same date from yesterday, it says Senate blocks $48 billion aid package for restaurants and other small businesses. So they can send $40 billion to Ukraine, but not give $40 billion to Americans, you know, entrepreneurs, restaurants, and other small businesses who suffered at the hands of the same government, which forced them to close up shop. And that was, I got that from a tweet from Logan Hall, who says, "They hate you." He's spot on. They hate us. They absolutely detest us. Holger Schäpitz, a German economist, he's got a huge account, 250,000 followers. I follow him for economy news. He tweets, he says, "Is this a writing on the wall for consumer prices, CPI in Germany? German producer price inflation rose by 33.5% in April, more than ever before." You should check out the chart. And even if you don't get, you know, financial stuff or economics, just every day we're reading these headlines that talk about records. Like yesterday, it was for the first time ever in all 50 states in America, gasoline hit above $4 a gallon, record. Here in Germany, highest PPI, record. Just every day, nonstop, bad economic news. You know, it's 1929 all over again. It's the Great Depression 2.0. It seriously is. It's like, I'm even getting messages from smart people saying like, "Yeah, this is it. You know, prepare. We're going over the cliff. This is it." What else is going on in the news? In Israel, Netanyahu-led opposition gains majority in Israeli Knesset. The dissolution of government vote expected. So we had Netanyahu's government collapse, and now the Israeli governments just keep collapsing. And I'm not an expert there, but I do recall my interview with Francis Boyle last time, where we talked about the Middle East, and he said that the Israeli political system just seems doomed and won't last very long. And so we keep seeing that trend where they keep collapsing. These parties keep collapsing. The U.S. is setting up military bases in eastern Yemen, cashing in on U.N. brokered truce. This comes from Press TV. It's unbelievable. I use a VPN and my VPN blocks Press TV, Iranian Press TV. So I have to turn off my VPN to read Press TV here in Mexico. So again, the U.S. is expanding its military bases in Somalia, Yemen. What else is happening? Cyber pandemic in Costa Rica. Costa Ricans scrambled to pay taxes by hand after cyber attack took down country's collection system. The other day, it was a county somewhere in the U.S., I forget where, and the local officials said what they experienced was never anything like it. It was really bad. So that was the U.S. Here we have Costa Rica. They're amping up the cyber pandemic coming to a town, city near you. So you know, prepare. I had a three-hour internet outage here. My colleague out in Canada also recently suffered a rare internet outage. More and more, this is becoming common. Harley Davidson is going to suspend most vehicle assembly due to parts issue. Again, supply chain breaking down. If you wanted a Harley Davidson, you're out of luck there. And we'll be right back with our next guest here on TNT Radio.
Checking off the boxes.
Established, reputable.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
This This is the Hrvoje Moric Show on TNTRadio.live, streaming through the smartphone app, the website, now as well on Rumble, YouTube, or as I call it, Pentagon Tube, and also on Odyssey, apparently today for the first time. And it's funny because yesterday I spoke with the CEO of Odyssey, and I guess someone at TNT was listening. So yes, today we're talking to Mexican-American Wheezy. I'm an American-Mexican. He's a Mexican-American. He's the host of the What Is Truth podcast. He covers conspiracy with fun guests and mind-bending views and thoughts. He doesn't leave any stone unturned. How's life, Wheezy?
Mr. Moric, I am doing fairly well. Thank you for having me again. I did catch the episode with Mr. Kaufman and truly, truly enjoyed it.
He's a cool guy, no?
Yeah, yeah. Very, very interesting. Some of the questions you asked him were really on point, and you got to know him more of as a person, you know, so I really appreciated it. But yeah, they're doing a lot of great work there. And it was so awesome to bring me up. So thank you for that shout out.
During the conversation. Yeah. I don't remember. Was that, because I was listening to some of your stuff, you know, with some of the scandal that you got into with Sean Atwood. And yeah, I had been looking at that the other day. So yeah,
go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, so that was interesting. Yeah, Odyssey is great. They seem to be improving. It's shocking that they have lost millions dealing with the Security and Exchange Commission. And it was really annoying because when I started Odyssey, you could just whip out your credit card and purchase directly library credits, and then you use that to boost your channel, you know, on Odyssey.
Yeah.
And I can't do it anymore. And you have to go like to these weird, it's more like, esoteric now. You have to go open accounts on crypto exchanges and then buy Bitcoin on the crypto exchange and then convert it to library and then send it from there to your library account. Have you done any of that?
I don't fully understand it. See, I would love to have someone that knows the technical side of Odyssey, you know, to kind of figure out how to compete, you know, because as small as my channel is, you know, I seem to get more views than channels that are several times bigger than me on, you know, on Odyssey. And I'm doing it organically, you know, but it'd be nice to know what kind of algorithm they use, you know, what kind of tips, you know, for smaller creators to use to get some better views, you know, on there. But I have received tips from, I do a lot of live streams. So that's what I'm known for, is to do, you know, live streams. We have a excellent live chat community. Shout out to all the people that follow me. And I put a link in my Facebook group, so I'm sure some people are listening. So shout out to you guys. But, you know, sometimes they'll tip me on Odyssey, and I think they allow you to link up your credit card to Odyssey, you know, like a live chat, and get tips that way. And every now and then, you know, Odyssey will send me a check, which is pretty cool. You know, it's they're trying to be on par with
really
YouTube. Yeah,
you've got
yeah.
money from awesome. Odyssey from donations.
Yeah, yeah.
Or
yes
wow
yeah people can do that. So yeah, if you ever do live streams on Odyssey, you just got to tell your, you know, your viewers that they have the ability to tip you in the live chat.
Maybe TNT should do that. Now that TNT Radio is streaming on Odyssey, they can figure that out. The chat. We'll see. This is good news. There's a lot of, in terms of, and this is what I was talking about with Jeremy Kaufman yesterday, that this alternative tech is, for now, giving a lot of opportunities to people. We'll see if the powers that be try to throw a spoke in those wheels in the future. But, you know, I wanted to talk about, I literally like cannot believe what's happening. I you know, this new pandemic that they're trying to pull on us. I don't know how much you've been looking at
it. Are you talking about the monkeypox?
Oh man, I don't have words anymore. Like, I literally cannot handle this anymore. When COVID came around, I counted, you know, there were a lot of great researchers. I put together some of their work. And you know, we had 2001 Dark Winter, you know, bioterror exercise, where what we went through the last 2 years was based, you know, it was largely modeled in that exercise, martial law, shutting down, lockdown. And that was, I forget the Dark Winter 2001 bioterror exercise, if it was anthrax or whatever. But then you had like, you know, 2017 SPARS simulation. Then you had like a Crimson Contagion, which was 2019, January to July, which talked about a flu-like virus coming out of China. And then you had Urban Outbreak. I think one of them actually was specifically coronavirus. Everyone knows Event 201, October 2019, about a coronavirus. A lot of people don't know that there was actually one in China. And I think Whitney Webb for that, who should be a guest of mine on TNT sometime soon, but she had pointed out on Twitter that in September of 2019, China, and I have the source bookmark, it's in Chinese, you just put it in Google Translate. China in September of 2019 in an airport in Wuhan, nonetheless, I believe it was Wuhan, did a mini pandemic simulation of an outbreak of coronavirus. So you've got China doing, you've got Event 201, you've got the Crimson Contagion or Urban Outbreak specifically on coronavirus. And today someone pointed out that the Nuclear Threat Initiative ran in March of 2021. So last year, they ran a simulation of monkeypox breaking out in May of 2022. And here we are, May 2022, they're announcing monkeypox. Like, they're, how do you say, they're like taking the piss, or, you know, they're laughing.
But that's what they've been doing this whole time. I mean, look at George Bush Senior or Junior. I'm sorry, just a few days ago, talking about how there's one man, you know, crippling a country or, you know, something along those lines, and then he acts like it was a joke. You know, that he said Iraq, you know, hinting at himself, you know, screwing over Iraq, and then some people are saying it was an accident. Some people saying it's a Freudian slip. I think they're really messing with us. You know, they do so these simulations. They do it in the open. It's not like they're hiding this. The New World Order, you know, Biden's been talking about the New World Order. You know, that's what we need now. It's not like it's a hidden agenda anymore. It's right in the open. And why the masses can't see it, it's beyond me at this point.
And people can go... look at this report. I mean, it's on their website. It was the National Threat Nuclear Threat Initiative and Munich Security Conference. Tabletop exercise. Disclose is a big Twitter and Telegram account. They're good with this stuff. They were the ones who posted it first. And you've got the usual suspects. You just look at the participants. You've got Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Wellcome Trust. So again, Whitney Webb and Johnny Vedmore wrote about the Wellcome Trust, who are heavily involved in COVID, Merck, WHO. Who else is there? That's interesting. So there's them. And then if you go to page 27 as well, the people who were consulted, expert contributors, you've got the Department of Homeland Security, and you've got InQtel. That's the CIA. That's the CIA's investment arm, InQtel. It's the same old. And I have no words. Like, I can't believe they're pulling this on us in broad daylight. It's like, I can't deal with this anymore. It's just, and if people can't see this, really, we deserve what we're going to get. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah. Well, it's the same MO, you know, when you look at, throughout history, these false flags, these war games, it's always the same method of operation. I mean, once your eyes are open, you can spot it, like, you know, like we're doing, we can spot it a mile away happening. The problem is it works so well. So if it's going to work for 90% of the people, why change it if it's not broken, you know? So they're not worried about people like you and I that, and you know, the listeners tuning in right now. We know what's going on, but they're not worried about us because they realize we're just a small segment of the population. Mm-hmm. They realize that 90% of the people will swallow whatever they throw out at them, unfortunately speaking. And yeah, I mean, touching back on the whole monkeypox thing, I've been hearing a little bit about it. I've been reading some articles on it, but it's clear that even that is complete nonsense. I mean, they're admitting that it's asymptomatic, you know, spread through people that are asymptomatic, only 20 cases. But I have a feeling they're going to try to blow this up bigger and bigger, you know, if it starts panning out for them. I think they throw out little mini things like these every now and then to kind of as a feeler, you know, get a feel for how the masses are going to react to it. And if it's well received, that's when they start going with it a little harder. I don't know if that makes any sense, you know, but that's just my gut feeling on it.
Yeah, and this bursts my bubble. You know, I was hoping maybe I would go this summer to my home of Croatia on the Adriatic, but they might lock everything down or demand the tests or vaccine passports. I'm reading here a cool Telegram channel with almost 100,000 subscribers is COVID Red Pills. They posted an article from traveloffpath.com, updated less than a day ago, talking about ASEAN, the Southeast Asian Union. 10 Asian countries are working to standardize a vaccine passport. So, I mean, does that mean from here on out, you know, and these, you know, we're talking about Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam, Myanmar. So I guess what to go there now? I mean, they're normal. They're bringing in this infrastructure. They're normalizing it. It's like you said, they're hyping it up to bring all this stuff back in. And again, it's like we won't be able to go anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. That's, you know, I think they succeeded with the whole locking down people. You know, if they need to lock down people again, they know that people will buy it. You know, that's why I think the whole Corona thing for the most part was kind of a test driver, you know, like a test run, see how the masses would react. And, you know, as far as you going back to Croatia, you may be good. They may be just doing somewhat of a gay or straight test because apparently the monkeypox thing is, you know, pretty much a gay or bisexual male disease at this point in time anyways. So if you don't even check those boxes, you may be good.
But even that, it's like they're doing the whole 1980s HIV AIDS thing again. It's like we're living in a rerun. It's unbelievable. In any case, we got to take our first break. Wheezy, do not disconnect. Keep listening to TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Christina Borgeson.
Freddie, let's talk about the indications of synergy among the U.S. and German facilities in the Ukraine. You talk about workshops, employees attending workshops organized by U.S. companies, Metabiota and Black & Veatch. And explain who Black & Veatch and Metabiota are to the audience so that they know.
Clearly, there is documents and intel available as far as the funding from the DTRA, funding Black & Veatch, which is basically a major contractor. So it's like during the war in Iraq, you have Bechtel, you have the Washington Group. These are big, big contractors. They get millions and millions, hundreds of millions of dollars worth of contract. And their job and their specificity is basically building biolabs, BSL 1, 2, 3, you name it. They are capable of building very highly secured laboratories for obviously very dangerous research.
Christina Borgeson on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Nearly every day, we hear dire predictions about climate change from the media establishment, Hollywood, and politicians. They tell us that the world is coming to an end because normal human activity is raising the temperature to dangerous levels. To avoid a hellish apocalypse, they warn us we must immediately change our lifestyles and our very way of life. But are these sensational claims based on solid empirical science? Do the facts line up with the hype? Well, an increasing number of scientists are becoming skeptical. We covered what many of these scientists had to say in our first groundbreaking film, Climate Hustle. From overhyped claims about severe weather events, temperatures, rising sea levels, and even disappearing polar bears, Climate Hustle peeled back the hype and looked at the facts, facts that simply don't add up to any reason for alarm. So this begs the questions. Why would those claiming a global warming catastrophe spread a false narrative? What would motivate them? Why would they try to hustle you? Are they trying to control the climate or you? Well, those are the questions we're going to explore in this film. And the answers may shock you. Order your DVD, Blu-ray, or digital copy today of Climate Hustle 2.
To find out more, go to climatehustle2.com.
What if you were wearing something sexy? What if you were drinking? What if you made the first move? No matter what, sexual assault is never your fault. Support is available 24/7 through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, reminding you it's never your fault.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
When you listen to us, you're always guaranteed straightforward, easy-to-understand, coherent conversation.
That's why I've made it a priority my entire career to work closely with you. From the time I got to the Senate 180 years ago.
And we stand by those words.
But I made very clear to Putin that we're not going to seek excuse me. So the best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to... Anyway.
Oh, man. Just stop talking.
TNT.
We are back on the Hrvoje Morić show. We've been talking to Wheezy of the What is Truth podcast, which you can find on podcast platforms as well as on Odyssey. I found this story. I mentioned this story during one of the news breaks about international schools. So I've been teaching in international schools. In the past, I was out in Kazakhstan, as I think I may have mentioned this before on your podcast, that as soon as I knew what was up, I hightailed it out of Kazakhstan back to Mexico. And this article talks about China's international schools hit by exodus of teachers because of these crazy lockdowns, like 40%. Yeah. You know, in a normal year, maybe 15% of teachers would, you know, leave. They would have to replace. Now it's like getting close to half. And one teacher said towards the end that they were even offering them almost like $7,500 a month. Wheezy, would you remain in China, locked in your apartment, being forced to take PCR tests daily for that much money?
I mean, at that point, you're practically a slave, you know, so yeah, you've got an increase in money, but if you're practically a slave, does that money even mean anything at that point? You know, I'd rather have my freedom rather than this imaginary money that they're throwing at you just to get you to stay.
Yeah, me too. I'd rather make 7,000 pesos a month in Mexico and just, you know, hang out freely, you know, in the sun here. Then
exactly,
I've never taken a PCR test. I simply refuse. And getting back to the monkeypox simulation, I scanned it quickly today and just I took out like two or three more key points. And they're using the same formula as you said previously. Everyone knows that in Geneva, I think in 4 days they're gonna push the WHO pandemic treaty, and there's something called the international health regulations, which countries they need to modify this. And in this simulation from a year ago, it says under the current international health regulations, IHR 2005, the WHO could be empowered to provide more risk assessments to member states. One participant noted that formally shifting the WHO to a graded system, giving them more power, whatever, might require a change to these regulations, which could pose significant political challenges. This is what we're experiencing now. I'm sure you've been paying attention in the alternative media. Everyone is saying, like, stand up against this WHO pandemic treaty that they're trying to change. They're trying to do this right now. And this was in the simulation from a year ago.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's fascinating how, like we were saying at the very beginning, how out in the open all this is. You know, it doesn't take any special detective skills. It's right there. I just figured it out. No, it's right in the open. They've written books. They do these exercises. They do TED Talks. And I mean, it doesn't take that much work to, you know, figure it all out. And again, I just think it's just to pretty much laugh at us. Especially the ones that are in full compliance mode and do whatever they're told.
Yeah. It's literally on your phone. Like it just pops up on my phone. I've got the feeds that I normally follow and it's right there. And again, just two more points. I thought this was just page 17. It says participants stress that national level decision makers must build trigger-based plans that emphasize a no regrets bias toward early action. Although there is inevitably a risk of false alarm responses, participants deem the risk of delay as far more consequential. Action must be the default pathway because you will not have the luxury of waiting for certainty. So if we translate that, they're saying it's that we have to. Yeah, and it's what they did the last 2 years. So they want to force governments to sign up to make this part of their protocol. So anytime the UN or WHO snaps their fingers and says, pandemic, we're not sure, but maybe, probably, maybe not. But anyway, everyone locked down. No regrets, it says, bias. Yeah, just lock down, masks, gel, shots in the arms. If it turns out there really wasn't a pandemic, well, better to be safe than sorry. No, this is nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what RFK Jr. in his book, The Real Anthony Fauci, essentially writes. You know, the immediate, you know, surprisingly, well, I guess not so surprising. I think James Corbett interviewed RFK Jr. A couple months back, but he, in his book, he's talking about how during this whole thing, you know, these scenarios, these exercises, quote unquote, were all practiced. And in all these instances, the solution wasn't to find alternative treatments or cost-effective stuff. It was always fear porn. 100%, that's what they were, you know, instead of dealing, oh, you know what, let's focus on finding alternative procedures, cost-effective ways to prevent, you know, the number one thing should have been how to prevent, you know, your risk in dying from COVID, you know, getting exercise, eating healthy. All this stuff is basic stuff, and none of it was ever pushed. Instead, what was pushed? Let's lock everyone down. 4 shots on everyone. 100% continuous fear porn. And it's, again, it's the same method of operation. Back in the Gulf War days, you know, with Bush, what do we see? Oh, you know, today's threat level is a level orange. Oh, today's a yellow, you know. It's just constant fear sells, unfortunately, and that's what gets the sheep in order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is why I say I don't mind at some point just tuning out and going on a farm and just not consuming any media and pretending like everything is fine, you know. Yeah.
It can't hurt you if you can't see it, or what's the saying? if you don't know what's going on, it's not going to do nothing to you.
Imagine doing that, though. Imagine going to some rural area. And like in the early on in the pandemic, there was this guy that was shipwrecked, I think. I don't know if you saw that story. He was shipwrecked for like a half a year, or he was off on some trip by New Zealand, and it was like 6 months or more, and everyone's like locked down, masks, you can't travel, vaccine passports, and he comes back and he's bewildered, like what's going on. And but imagine doing that experiment from now on, just go on a farm, don't look at the news for a year at least, and every, you know, life will be nice, good.
Well, I've often talked about that. I've said that a couple of times on my show. You know, we in the West and in these quote unquote civilized industrialized nations, what we see on the TV, on the computer, just nothing but fear porn. You know, these, you know, governments scaring us into compliance and all this crap. Now imagine living in a isolated tribe, whether somewhere in Latin America, whether in Africa, Asia, and you don't have access to the internet, you don't have access to anything. So if the quote-unquote world were to end tomorrow and everyone's dying, you know, everyone's freaking out, well, how am I going to feed my family now, all this crap, these other isolated tribes are just going to go like nothing ever happened. You know, and so we may look at them from our quote-unquote civilized point of view and be like, oh, those guys, those people are primitive, they're, you know, they're stupid, they're primitive, what do they know about anything? But if something were to hit the fan, you wish you were in their position, you know what I mean, living a simple life, no stress, and life as usual, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can tell you from my experience in Mongolia, it was incredible. It has the lowest population density on the planet, and I lived in the Gobi Desert, a town of less than 1,000 people, you know, maybe 500, maybe 800. Outside of the town for like hundreds of kilometers, nothing, nobody. You're literally in the middle of nowhere, and then you've got the winter where it's very cold. And so we would travel. I remember one time in the summer, we went, I don't know how many hours. There was this international kind of music festival, which was funky, interesting, out in the desert in Mongolia. And there were literally like 15 of us in the Jeep. You know, like they removed the seats in the back and like 15 of us in the Jeep. And there's no roads. Somehow the driver just has to know which way to go. And the Jeep broke down. So imagine this. I think one of the axles underneath the car broke. And you're in the middle of nowhere. Like, if you're not capable of fixing it, you're going to die. I mean, there are nomads here and there, people that pass by. But you're going to die if you can't fix it, because you're going to run out of water. Or if it's the wintertime, you're going to literally freeze to death. No food. And so they had, luckily, they had tents. With wooden, you know, made out of wood. So they managed to put that as a makeshift axle until they got to the next town. Or in another case, or in another case, something was wrong with the engine, and I saw the driver just banging on the engine, you know, messing with it to fix it. Like, if you're not able to do that, it's kind of what you say about here in the West. Like, in those societies, they can do these things. I can't, you know, we don't. I'm not good with that. I hate to admit that. I'm a city boy, but yeah, they will be
just fine. It's really basic stuff when you look at it, but we get, you know, all the nice things that we have, whether it's your latest cell phone, whatever latest electronic gadget. Yes, they are extremely convenient these days. Yes, all that stuff. The problem is we then start to rely on these things for everything, you know, instead of learning how to manually check the weather. I learned how to take weather when I was a firefighter. I told you I used to be a firefighter in the mountains, and every day we took weather and we forecasted on our own. We didn't need any electronic gadgets or anything. We had to do it on our own because we were isolated. But a lot of people don't know how to take the weather naturally or by hand. People rely just popping out their phone, Alexa or Google, tell me what the weather is. And that's the kind of society that probably has been engineered that way. And we don't even think about it. You know what I mean? To be dependent on all these technological advances. So, yes, they feel good, but they come at a price. And we never think about that.
Yeah, I learned that early on as a city boy. I realized I wanted to become a man again. I found there's a great website called artofmanliness.com. Great podcast, great website. And I wanted to start relearning these things that my father and grandfather knew and unlearn kind of this indoctrination that we're put into and go back old school. Just before the break, I thought, you know, I'd finish the last point on the monkeypox pandemic simulation. Page 24 talks about a UN agency or credible non-governmental institution should partner with experts from the scientific, philanthropic, security, public health communities to create an international entity. And that's the key. In all of these simulations and scare attempts, whether it's the climate change or the international terrorism or now the pandemic, they're using it as a pretext to create, through these IGOs, international governmental organizations, an international entity. Now, just think of a synonym for that, you know, international world entity, you know, organization, yeah. World organization, world government. So yeah. They're trying to now build upon, to create world government. So that's the crazy part. And then in Russia, they announced, in order to prevent the importation of monkeypox into the territory of Russia, they've strengthened sanitary and quarantine control measures at the border. So we'll see if they let us at least enjoy one last summer free or not. And with that, we're going to take one more short tequila break. Don't go anywhere. Stick around on TNT Radio.
Bill Gates loves tyranny. Ever wonder what country is the model for the world to follow, according to Bill Gates? Australia, which led the most oppressive lockdowns next to China.
Is it possible to prevent the next pandemic?
Yes, if every country does what Australia did, then you wouldn't be calling it a pandemic.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
Yes, that's right. Bill Gates' idea of the way to prevent the next pandemic is to follow the model of COVID lockdowns, quarantine camps, militarization, people being forced off beaches, endless contact tracing, forced masking, forced vaccinating. One of the most oppressive lockdowns on the planet, next to China, occurred in Australia. That's what Bill Gates wants for your future. Now you know what Bill Gates and the World Health Organization have in mind for you. Be afraid, be very afraid, and then get angry and fight back. For the Morano Minute, I'm Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We are back from the break on the Hrvoje Moric Show on our final stretch with Wheezy of the What is Truth podcast, which you can find on podcast platforms and on Odyssey. He does the live streaming thing. I think you get a good deal of viewers on the live stream, no?
Yeah, you know, even when I was on YouTube and I was getting the numbers, you know, with only 5,000 subs, I was getting 600 people on a live stream, which is comparable to what channels with, you know, 40,000, 50,000 subscribers do, you know. So even when I first came on to Odyssey, I was getting about 100 viewers on Odyssey. And I've been looking around Odyssey live streams. It's hard to get 100, and I was doing it early on, but I think what turned off a lot of people was the buffering. And I hope Odyssey soon figures that live stream buffering soon, you know. They've gotten better, but yeah, live streams were always my bread and butter, man. So if there's people out there that love to have a good live stream experience, I mean, definitely would encourage them to hop on some of the live streams we do. We've got a little community still with us.
All right. Well, I've kind of gotten tired for now discussing the monkeypox. You've talked a lot about JFK. You've had guests on doing deep dives on that. You know, we've got the deep state. What's interesting for you lately?
When it comes to JFK, I mean, JFK on its own is there's the fact that the government is still hiding thousands, you know, upwards of around 10,000 of classified documents. I can't remember who said this quote, but, you know, the official narrative tells us that, what does the official narrative say? Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone gunman. He was apprehended. He got killed by Jack Ruby. Case closed. And yet, several decades later, we still have 10,000 documents that are classified due to national security. If the case was closed, why is the excuse for national security being used? It makes zero sense. It was an obvious conspiracy. And there's been plenty of researchers, taking their deep dives. And one gentleman that I, you know, I'm proud to call my friend is Corey Hughes. And that guy is just an encyclopedia. But there's just so many moving parts to it. It seems like whenever I decide to take another dive back into the JFK thing, I learn something new that I didn't know before, you know. But it's just a massive, massive, massive case. And that's why you go down one rabbit hole and you may end up somewhere you didn't expect to be in.
Yeah, and my favorite book, I haven't read many on it. I actually assigned it at university, and when I was teaching on the subject foreign policy, Cold War, James Douglas's JFK and the Unspeakable. Oliver Stone has lauded it, John Perkins and others. But basically, I think it's well worth understanding what happened, reading this book or others. But as you said, so many things come together because you learn about JFK, you learn about all about the Cold War, the deep state, the Dulles brothers, you know, they're connected to the Nazis. I think they were involved in creating the OSS, the precursor to the CIA. Later you learn about
NASA.
I don't know about that. But then the Warren Commission, which says, oh, Lee Harvey Oswald did it, no one else. And then back then, even in the 60s, people were not believing it. And then CIA's, they sent a memo in 1967 to the mainstream media, the CIA, kind of encouraging the MSM to start using the term conspiracy theory and conspiracy theorist, which then you can understand it's meant to anyone just questioning the government. It's meant to discredit them. And since then, this term is 50, 60 years later. It's still functioning so well, this conspiracy theory term, no?
Yeah, and it's just like we said at the very beginning, it's the same MO being used over and over and over again. So when you call someone a conspiracy theorist, someone you get labeled that, then a lot of the people that are ignorant will hear that term. Oh yeah, I better stay away from that. That thing, you know, that conspiracy theorist thing. He's got cooties. She's got cooties. You know, stay away from them. I've been told that these people are crazy and nuts. So let's stay away from them. And what happens when you have a dissenting view on trans athletes competing in female sports? You make a valid point, a valid scientific argument against it. And what happens? Oh, you're a bigot. You're a bigot. So this style, this method of operation is in play even today, you know, and it's just to quiet down any dissenting opinions or thoughts.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter made a great comment. They're not worried about the spread of disinformation. They're worried about the spread of information. Your rulers are not concerned that you'll start learning false things about COVID or the war in Ukraine. They are worried you'll start learning true things about your rulers. And it really is a struggle. I think lately maybe it's gotten easier. Maybe it's been worn out, this term, conspiracy theory. Yeah,
I now accept it, man. I almost wear it like a badge of honor. And whenever I meet, I don't run into a lot of people, but if someone calls BS on conspiracies and say, "Oh yeah, that's a Looney Tune," I dare them. I go, "I'll debate you on my show. I'll debate you. You think this is? You think 9/11? You believe the official story on 9/11? You believe the official story on the JFK assassination? I'll give them stuff whatever you want to talk about, and I'll debate you. And if you feel so confident that this is Looney Tune thinking, debate me. And every time I offer that challenge, I get some excuse. Oh well, you know I'm shy. Oh, it's just BS. Because if you're so sure of where you stand, you wouldn't be scared to debate. You know what I'm saying? So anytime I offer a challenge or debate, because I've researched, you know, whatever I speak on, if I feel 100% on it, I'm going to be speaking on that behalf. If I'm not sure or, you know, whatever, I'll tell you straight up, look, I don't know too much. Let me look a little bit more into it. I'm not scared to say when I'm wrong or whatever, but when I'm confident on something, we can bring it on. But that's why if someone wants to call me a conspiracy theorist, yeah, I'll put on a little tinfoil hat for you right now. You want to have a debate? You know, I'm yet to meet someone to take me up on that challenge, though.
I think what's helped me is if you've kind of established a record of accurately predicting things, obviously not getting angry or aggressive, but having some authority or credibility. So, you know, I worked as a professor at good schools, and then using sources like official documents, right? And as well as my podcast, I can always just say, like, look, on a weekly basis, I'm talking to experts. Like, I've spoken to Ray McGovern, former CIA officer, who briefed 7 U.S. presidents. He's telling you the opposite of what the mainstream is telling you about the war in Russia and many other things. You know, I've spoken to Peter Ford, the UK ambassador to Syria, right? And, you know, he's talking about, yeah, like it was a false flag. The chemical attack was a Western false flag. You know, I'm talking to ambassadors and CIA officers. Andy Michon, yeah, the MI5 whistleblower, she was working in MI5 in the 90s, and she said, you know, we're supposed to be fighting the terrorists, and she discovers, wait, what? MI5 or 6 gave 100,000 British pounds to Al-Qaeda to carry out a terrorist attack to attempt to assassinate Muammar Gaddafi? So we're giving money to Al-Qaeda for them to carry out terrorist attacks? What? And so that kind of has helped me. Like when anyone tries to say I'm crazy, I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm talking, look at all these people. Are they all also conspiracy theorists? And, you know, that's also one tactic that people can use, is try to come from a place of credibility.
Well, a lot of these people that try to dismiss us, they use the fallacy, they appeal to authority, and you can point out facts that directly oppose these authority figures and they'll still dismiss it. You know, take 9/11 for example. You hear a lot of people, oh, what you do, did you watch some YouTube video? Well, first of all, YouTube has deleted all the good, you know, conspiracy related channels, so you can't use that argument anymore. Second of all, you have architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, which is several thousand professionals that say the official story is complete nonsense. And then even with the coronavirus, you have Dr. Peter McCullough speaking out, the most well-published doctor in medical history. He's now an anti-vaxxer and we need to dismiss him just because he simply went against the narrative. So prior to this, he was the most well-respected doctor, one of the most well-respected doctors on the planet. But because he now opposes the mainstream narrative, you got to write off his entire resume now. But this is the kind of Looney Tune place that we're in right now.
Yeah, it's Looney Tunes. I used to like Looney Tunes back in the day. Yeah, I think it's still worthwhile trying to wake people up, but now it's gotten to the point where you just choose your battles. You know, if you talk about it once with friends, they don't get it. You know, they just don't keep doing it. You know, you don't wear out your welcome.
Don't keep doing it, and then. Well, we touched on it last time. When was it, on Wednesday that I was on? I said it then, but that's the way to go. In my opinion, microdoses of truth.
Right.
And use stuff that these people, in case they want to, if you're worried that they're going to go back and fact check you, let them fact check you. Give them stuff that they can verify for themselves. Operation Northwoods. The Gulf of Tonkin was a false flag that got us in Vietnam. All this stuff is verifiable. So this is, you start off with little microdoses of truth. And if they come back and ask for more, like, holy crap, I didn't know about this. Then hit them with some more microdoses of truth. And I think that's the best way to red pill a lot of these people that are still chained up by these official narrative structures. Or propagandist, if you will.
Yeah, we've got a few minutes left. I don't know if you have any other or closing thoughts, you know, just on that stuff. My fear going forward is them beginning to criminalize this sort of speech. And they're using the hate speech thing. We see it in Scotland, UK, Canada. They're trying to, in the EU now, they're trying to make it where if you talk, you know, where was it in Czech Republic? Apparently, just some months ago, if you counter the Russian narrative, official narrative on Ukraine, they could jail you. Like this is where we're going, and they want to set the precedent with Julian Assange. No, if they can extradite him, find him guilty, so now anyone anywhere in the world who counters the official government narrative can be sanctioned.
Yeah. And how ridiculous that Julian Assange gets labeled as a treasonous individual when he's not even American. He's Australian, you know? So the ignorance, even on that case. But I went over the UK and its malicious communications laws and how if you say mean things, quote unquote, on YouTube, you'll have 20 police officers at your door. I have a video that I did with my friend Brian Harvey of E17, where he was saying stuff online on YouTube. He was mad at this person defaming and slandering him. He answers back, and the police show up to his house, 20s deep, for talking smack online. This is the kind of Looney Tunes world that we're currently living in, and some people are still failing to see it.
So I've seen that in, I think, New Zealand, possibly in Australia, Canada, and the UK. I mean, I would move out of those countries if they were doing that. Like, I can't believe
that's what
though,
they're trying to do
for posting online that they will posting something online and come to your house.
Uh-huh. That's the move that they were trying to get at with the whole board of disinformation. And luckily it got shot down for the time being, but that's what they're trying to push for. That's what they're trying to push for. Everything you're seeing in the UK with the lack of freedom of speech, that's what they're trying to bring to our doorstep. Read the goddamn Constitution and you will see these people cannot get away with this. We need to stand up. And everything that these guys are proposing is against the United States Constitution.
It is. And I just move further south. You know, I move from the U.S. to Mexico. If it ever comes to Mexico, I guess, I don't know, maybe I go to Nicaragua, Honduras, I don't know. Eventually, I'll end up in Antarctica. Right, where are the best places to find you online?
Look for, if you want the video platforms, go to Odyssey, look for What Is Truth Podcast or Weezy, W-E-E-Z-Y. You can also find me on your favorite podcast player. Check us out. Live streams are fun. I'll do one tomorrow. I usually do them on Saturdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. UK time. We, you know, most of the people that follow me are weirdly enough from the UK. So shout out to all those night owls that are listening right now. And thanks for having me again, my man. I can't thank you enough.
It's always fun. You're on Twitter as well, What Truth Pod. Stick around. We'll be right back after this break here on TNT Radio.